You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill today is ManagePay's founder and MD, Chu Chee Sing. ManagePay used to be in the so-called merchant acquisitions business for the purposes of facilitating payments and is now transitioning to become a fintech. Today, we're going to discuss the opportunities and challenges in fintech for ManagePay. Good morning, Chu. Welcome to the show. I think this is the second time in about a year that we are seeing you again, and correctly so as well, because we are facing very exciting times, especially in the fintech sector. Tell us a little bit more about your old business and this transition into the new business. I'm sure it must come with a lot of disruption and challenges.
Yes, I think indeed. In fact, the company chose to change the course of business directions back about 4 years ago in 2012, when we find current capabilities of doing merchant acquiring is still subject to a lot of banks' business directions. And we decided to actually move into businesses that we can build our own capabilities to acquire the customers we want. And that required a lot of licenses. So in other words, you know, during that decision was made, number one, we have to go to the market to seek more fund. In fact, immediately after 1 year we listed, the second year we actually go for fundraising. And we focus on the new fintech solutions. We started quite early, 4 years ago. Nobody really know about that terms. And we have to actually acquire new license. We actually write to government. We present to Permandu. We got the new EPP focusing on facilitating e-payment for SME communities. And we also continue to go to Central Bank to ask for a few licenses. One is on the merchant aggregator business. One is on the e-money issuings. One is on the MasterCard issuings. We also got the money remittance services. And on the other hand, we also moved to other government agencies. One is actually Security Commissions. We got our P2P lending platform operator license. And also from MCMC, through our affiliates, Trustgate, we also obtained the national CA license.
So can you tell us a little bit about how your earnings are changing and what is the split between the old business that you used to do and the new business that you purport that is coming from fintech? I mean, this year you announced very poor financial reporting where your earnings actually dropped quite sharply.
The new capabilities actually take time. If you looking back 4 years ago, we continued to get licensed one after another. And all these take time to actually go to the market. Of the few licenses we obtained, one which is merchant aggregator license, the other one is actually the national CA license. The revenue still be there. The new licenses, in fact, will take time to build. The capability of doing e-money remittance, and also the MasterCard issuing, it actually takes some time. In fact, we only start seeing the revenue coming in Q4 this year. And P2P, we are predicting we're able to launch, you know, by latest Q2 next year.
Just a look at the macro and regulatory environment. Bank Negara wants to increase the card terminals from 220,000 currently to about 800,000 in the next 5 years. And this is really that quest to move into a cashless society.
Yeah.
How does ManagePay feature in this agenda?
We involve in the entire ecosystem. That's why the few licenses we mentioned about. We are talking about offering omni-channels. That means the payment acceptance capability of the merchants to be able to accept money, not just from the conventional EDC POS, but also from the apps economies, internet, as well as a QR payment, etc., etc. When you do so, then you look at the other side of the coin. You have to empower the customers to have the same capabilities to be actually able to buy things from the merchants in these different channels. And that is our new license capability, which is e-money. So when we go to the market, we look at the ecosystem, we look at both empowering the merchants to be able to accept multiple payment channels, but at the same time, we go to the market, and we get the license with license. We're going to empower the mass market, whether they are actually foreign workers, you know, students, or general public like us. We actually put something new into their wallet, into their handphone, to be able to buy and facilitate the delivery and the payment using the channels.
I just want to tap into your feelings about the regulatory environment. For example, Bank Negara has issued the so-called fintech regulatory sandbox. And were many of your licenses acquired through this sandbox? And what do you feel about what the regulators feelings are towards opening up the market?
Okay, my understanding might not be correct, you know, in terms of the general public understanding or even from the authorities. But that is what I have been through. You know, I really go to the central bank and acquire the license. So I just share my personal thought. In terms of the word going to the fintech business, there's one way is if you really come out something disruptive. You don't even need a license to do it, okay? Just like the Uber, right? Like Airbnb, people don't really think that they need to have a hotel license, you know, to manage the rooms.
But this is different, right? This is concerning the financial regulatory environment. So Bank Negara and even the securities on the capital market side are taking a keen interest on such developments. And there is that feeling that Bank Negara may want to go slow a little bit, and that's why they're establishing the regulatory sandbox.
Well, I mean, if you really want to drill down into what sandbox is, you know, I think they still provide a channel for any company who would like to do something with least governance or least regulated kind of environment, which is what I'm trying to refer to, like the Airbnb and Uber, right? But at the same time, you can also work with any financial institutions to leverage on the current financial institutions' licenses to actually form something new to go to the market, okay? And the thirdly, in fact, if a company feel that they would like to acquire that license themselves and to go into the fintech business, and you can go straight to actually apply to central bank and put yourself in the regulated environment and try to comply to the central bank guidelines and roll out the business you want to do. So there's actually three versions, right? So the easiest way, of course, is actually work with a current bank who have the financial institutions who have the license, and you can leverage on their license to actually roll out the disruptive services. But a lot of companies are choosing the path number one, means they actually try to work within certain guideline, but not applying to the central bank or not working with any financial institutions. So they just need to write in to central bank and say, within the sandbox framework, can I do this? Can I do that? So if you want to do that, then you rewrite to the central bank, and central bank feel that what you proposed are not going to harm the existing financial institutions' infrastructures, and then they will probably give you a 1 year time to play around. You know, so sandbox is like you go to seaside, you know, and then play. Build up your castle, right? So that's what it means. So you can literally do that. And I think a lot of fintech, you know, company, they didn't set aside to be a fintech, but they really become a fintech because the services they offer become so disruptive, you know, beyond the financial institutions. So if you look at Uber, their ability to actually allow you to charge when you hop into the car, when you come up to the car, and then you're being charged. You know, this is actually change of the payment. And if you look at that payment mechanisms, it's actually within very fine line in a way, you know, if you go beyond certain side, then it will be actually affected.
We're speaking to Chu Chee Singh, founder and managing director of Managed Pay System, which is en route to become a fully fledged fintech. Up next, we'll talk about peer-to-peer lending as well as Managed Pay's expansion overseas. This morning on the Breakfast Grill is Chu Chee Singh, founder and MD of Managed Pay Systems, Berhad. We were earlier talking about the regulatory environment, and to this end, you're going into the P2P business. I just want to know, what are the factors that give you a kind of competitive advantage into P2P? Because P2P to me is basically lending, and really, if you launch a P2P business, you're challenging the banks directly.
Mm-hmm. I think the P2P lending or financing platform that is governed by SC is basically a marketplace. It's not a bank who are actually lending money, but it's actually a marketplace where we use the internet technologies to actually match the people who wants to borrow money to the investor who actually wants to lend money. It's actually literally a technology games. It's about how you're able to profile customers, which is the borrowers, and make that profile information clearly by giving certain score, telling the business they are in, to the potential investor.
So this is like what the ratings agencies are doing, ranking people according to their ability to repay.
Yes, yeah. Well, in fact, we use rating agency as well in the B2B platform that we would like to operate, because to give a scoring that is actually come from authority is a lot more easier than come from yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the capability is different, right? If the bank look at lending, bank look at, you know, how much money, internal fund they can source and how cheap it is, right? In our case, we are looking at the fund coming from public, they're from investor. It comes from retail investor like you and me, high net worth customers, angel investor, including even institutional investor.
What sort of lending amounts are we talking about here, and how do you deal with the asset liability mismatch that a lot of the banks, you know, spend most of their time doing?
I would think it depends on how risk averse you are running this business. As a platform market operator, we literally do not really responsible if the loan is defaulted, because we facilitate it, right? So the guy is going to get hit. In fact, it's the investor. Our job is actually to focus on how are we able to profile the borrowers as accurate as possible and give the assumptions how good this potential.
But how do you get around the potential for assets and liability mismatch? For example, if I wanted to invest, let's say, 100,000, I'm not sure what kind of ticket sizes you're focusing on. If I want to invest 100,000 and borrower wants to borrow 200,000, and I want to only invest for 6 months and the borrower needs to borrow for 2 years, how do you reconcile all those different ones and produce a business out of that?
On the size of the borrowing amount, I think it's quite easy. You know, basically, we aggregate, you know, the number of investors to actually match the requirement from the borrowers. Because the idea is you don't want to put all your eight in one basket, right? You rather want to put just 10,000 of your 100,000 into one borrower. And with that, we can get another 200 people who wants to invest 10,000 to match a borrower who wants to actually borrow 200,000. So in terms of the quantum, it's actually quite easy to explain.
So you're using technology to bring this matchmaking service to the public?
We let them meet, right? But investor can still invest the whole 100,000 he has on one borrower. That's up to them. But we encourage to actually aggregate. That means you actually divide your risk. You don't want to actually put all eight in one basket.
And how do you make money out of this? What kind of pricing are you charging for this?
I mean, for facilitating that, then we charge a platform fees, and also for every month you collect repayment, you know, on behalf of the investor and put the money back to the investor, then you also charge the service fee. So that you basically just make money from that. And if you look at it, it's no other than a simple marketplace today. I mean, just like Lazada, just like Amazon, whatsoever, you know, you put your products on somebody else's platform and you have to pay a service fee.
Do you think that the pricing of money is slightly different from what is being sold on Lazada, for example, or how you price money is through interest rates? Do you think that the public is in a position to understand interest rate correctly and to price such investments and borrowings correctly?
No, in fact, I think it is a very straightforward business. Everybody wants to put money today. They are not buying a product that they have to assess on the quality and in terms of how much usage is going to actually come up from this product. You know, that is very subjective, right? For this, it's very objective. You want to invest your money, you're buying a loan product, but in actual terms, you invest in the loan product. And you always look at the return. So you just calculate the return. Very straightforward.
I don't feel that it's such a simple decision. Maybe I've not seen the technology yet, but I have to assess the quality of the borrower. I have to peg a certain premium or discount to recommended interest rates, and I have to compare these interest rates to the bank lending rates. So the decision process feels quite complex to me.
That's why I think the whole idea of the debt marketplace is to actually make it so simple that even auntie and uncle on the street will be able to invest. You know, it's just like today, if you talk about share buying, I think it's very complex. If you try to follow Warren Buffett way, you know, you have to study all the ratios, right? But if you look at in Malaysia, all people on the street, you know, uncle, auntie, know how to invest. They pick up a phone, they can invest. Why? Because there's always a projected returns that's going to get. They heard rumors, they think this company is good, you know, they're just going to buy, right? Same goes for the debt market. That's why it's under SC. It's about the ability to actually profile the customer who wants to borrow money and tell the public that if you invest in this, then how much returns you're going to get. So it's just like a bond market, but it's instead of bond where, you know, only offered by the huge company, debt marketplace is offered to SMEs.
Do you think that the banks will take this lying down? Because this to me seems to be eating at the traditional bread and butter of the banking financial institutions.
I think a lot of thought will be thinking along that line, you know, when you first encroach into somebody else's industry, right? But in actual fact, it's not, because first and foremost, you know, these are the SMEs which industry that really very difficult for them to get a loan from the bank. Not because they are not good in doing their business, but because overall package from financial standpoint, they are just a risk. They are not really a secure loan takers, right? So that's why the banks will usually don't give loan to this set of company. They have to pay additional fees to these CGCs to get their loan guarantee. Then that means the cost of them is higher, right? That is where small businessmen have to turn to. So the idea of this platform is, if you look at the guidelines, SC also put that the highest interest you can charge ASME is actually annualized 18%. But by ability to profile them, then the SME will be able to actually, depends on the risk, what we think they are, right? And we give them a scoring that, you know, will definitely drive down the interest, annualized interest to about 12 or even 10%. So imagine 10 to 12% is actually considered quite high if you're talking about OD from the bank environment. But in the first place, they can't even get the OD facilities. So if they were looking at short-term loan, like 6 months, 1 year, and then someone want to actually borrow them at 15%, I think everybody will take it. I'm a businessman, I'll take it, right? Because you can get it as short as 1 day to as long as 30 days. Imagine you need 100,000, you get it the next day. So that it will be fantastic, you know.
Chu Chi Sing, founder and MD of ManagePay Systems Berhad, is on the grill today. Chu, just last February, ManagePay received an approval for Bank Negara to issue e-money and to establish an e-wallet. Give us an update on this.
You know, it's not easy because there's so many things we have to follow, guidelines we have to follow. We have to put up so many processes in-house. We also have to manage the money well, because e-money equal to deposit-taking license, okay? Our customers can have one virtual account and one MasterCard account. And each account, the wallet size is actually 10,000. So literally, we can take from each customer's 20,000 deposit, okay? So this money is a lot. So there's a lot of procedure to follow. So it took us some time to actually launch the product. We actually only launched it this year. The virtual account is on the 29th of April, and the MasterCard is actually on 29th of July. So what have we done today is actually we look at the low-hanging fruit of the potential customers. People on the street like you and me would definitely don't need a prepaid card. You know, you already have your debit card. Almost like a prepaid card, it's just linked to your saving accounts. A lot of us have a credit card. So you don't need to have a prepaid card. So we have to look at certain target segments. So we look at the underbanked customers. We look at foreign workers as our customers. Employees, our strategic partners, to actually issue salaries to the foreign workers. Then they will be the user of cards. We look at students who are the parents who like to control their pocket money and able to see the audit trail of the spending. And all this are actually our second category of customers who are actually today, the parents won't give them a supplement card. You know, you have to be 18 years old and above. And our cards is actually 12 years old and above. So below 18 and above 12, you just need to have a parental guidance. They can use the card. So in a way, you know, the students might actually spend little compared to adults like you and me, but we teach them the financial management and ability to actually manage their spending.
So it sounds like, it feels from what you say, that this business is a very challenging business. Are you sort of going to place more importance on the P2P business than in the e-money business in your transition to become a fully fledged fintech?
Well, I wouldn't, in the first place, I wouldn't say the e-money business is difficult, because in fact, we think it's a blue ocean for us, because it's literally a market that nobody tap into. We only have 4 licensees from Central Bank who are able to issue a prepaid card from non-bank companies. One is TrueMoney, one is actually MAA, They are, the third one is Aeon Credit, you know, who actually issue prepaid cards. So we are only the fourth company, you know, for many years who are non-bank but able to issue MasterCard. And of course, in future, we can issue other schemes as well. So the market is actually considered very big. So we, apart from the low-hanging fruit, we also have a very good market that we are working on. We are talking to malls. We are talking to communities. In fact, we launched with, we just signed an agreement with MRCA, the Malaysia Retail Chain Associations, in the month of May or June, you know, this year. And we prepare to launch the product by Q1 or Q2 next year. So these are all new markets. So it's not really challenging as per se, but it's actually, it takes time. It takes time. Okay.
Tell us about your expansion overseas, because recently you tied up with China Credit FinTech.
Yeah.
Do you think that the overseas people, especially in the ASEAN regions, are they ready to accept FinTech?
Well, I guess the MOU is actually quite high level, so you don't really see the details. Actually, what we are agreeing with this Credit China potential partner is actually try to focus on leveraging on their expertise in this P2P business and also their e-payment business to look at Malaysia, right? That means we are leveraging on their know-how, right? And then beyond Malaysia, they are looking at us, if we are become their partners, to also launch the similar services to ASEAN regions, okay? So it's actually looking at taking their expertise and maybe even their investment. That's why the MOU state quite clearly that the collaborations is actually will go beyond the business know-how and the technology sharings into potential equity collaborations. So it's quite clear. In fact, if not, why we sign a 3 months exclusivity with them. So it's look at Malaysia as a launching pad, you know, to leverage on their experience in P2P to help us to actually launch the services in Malaysia. And beyond that, you know, we look at the MPOS, P2P, e-money capabilities to export to the rest of the ASEAN country.
Now, if we look at your share price performance over the last year, it has been bashed down quite sharply. And in fact, looking at the price trajectory over the last 5 years, an investor who put money into your company 5 years ago would not have made a lot of money. In this transition for ManagePay to become a fintech, what is your sentiment about investors' feelings? Do they understand what you're doing? And do they accept this new direction that the company is taking?
Yeah. Well, if you keep the shares since 5 years ago, then your average price is definitely higher than what you had invested in the past. Because, like, for example, our right issue is only 12 cents, right? And our IPO is only 16, and you get it, you know, for 12 cents, and you get a free warrant, right? So if half of investors sold, you know, so they actually further drive the cost down, right? So if you talk about people who actually come 5 years ago, right, or even 4 years ago, even they invest in rights, they're going to actually have a higher return now, right? You're not only talking about people who just come in the last 2 years, that is really about 15% downwards, right? And if you look at the height, you know, of last year, it's about 30 cents, then of course, you know, it's almost like 40% down. And then it's just like, if not enough, you know, early this year, when China market opened, pop, you know, there's another incident. And then before you recover, then there's Brexit happened. Everybody were taking the beating, right? And if you ask me, I think we are holding well at 16, 17 cents, because we're able to attract still potential good investor. Like in this case, you know, Credit China, right? This is a collaboration. So 3 months we're going to negotiate. We are not going to sell at 16 cents, 17 cents, right? So, I mean, I still stopped there because this is an MOU signed, so you can read it, right? I would say we are holding very well. The license we have, nobody in Malaysia will have so many licenses. The technical capabilities and the business capability derived from the license and the technology we have and what we can do in the next 3 to 4 years is tremendous. To me, it's the best investment you can buy, a company who is so cheap, who have so much capabilities, looking for the next few years.
Thank you very much for joining us. And that was Chiu Chi Singh, founder and MD for ManagePay Systems Berhad, talking to us about the opportunities and challenges in fintech in Malaysia. I'm Julian Ng for BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.